The cunning of the goose is immeasurable, its mischief infinite. Written by Hanging Fire. Read by Tipsy Kitty. Phantom Piranesi. It is a lovely day in the house, and there is a horrible goose. Entry for the first day of the fourth month in the year the albatross came to the southwestern halls. Today I woke and discovered that my fishing net was gone. I had hung it near my bed to dry overnight, but when I woke it was no longer there. I did not think that the other would have taken it, nor could wind or tide have swept it away. Where could it have gone? As I searched the third northern hall for the net, I heard a sound, a new sound, emanating from the second northern hall. It was a very loud. There are many birds in the house. There are rooks, sparrows, gulls, the albatrosses and their chick, some swans, the occasional duck, but I have never before observed a goose. Curious, I left off my search and made my way to the second northern hall. There, draped from the hands of the angel caught in a rose bush, was my net. And there, perched on the angel's head, was a goose. It was a goose of remarkable whiteness, with a bright orange beak and big webbed feet, and it seemed to regard me with a kind of spiteful intelligence. It fixed me with a look and spoke again. "Hello," I said. "Did you take my net?" It replied. It stretched out its wings and danced in a small circle on the angel's head. "Well, I would like it back, please," I said. The goose hopped down from the angel and ran away to the first northern hall. I sighed and climbed up onto the statue of the angel. It took me some time, but I finally retrieved my net, and when I descended, I found the goose had returned. It held an object in its beak. "Let me see what you have," I said, stepping closer, and then I saw that it had the knife that I used to cut seaweed. It stared at me for a moment, and then it fled in the direction of the ninth vestibule. No! I ran after it and finally caught up with it at the top of the easternmost staircase. It dropped the knife and scurried away. To my astonishment, I found that it had collected a number of my belongings, a particularly beautiful coral bead, a strip of cloth that I sometimes use to keep my hair back from my face, and a green gel pen. I'm familiar with the thieving tendency of magpies and other corvids, but I have never seen such behavior in waterfowl. The other does not like the goose, and the goose does not like the other. Entry for the second day of the fourth month in the year the albatross came to the southwestern halls. After the morning's mischief, the goose let me be, but just as I was falling asleep, I heard, somewhere distant in the house, a very loud and distinct. Today I was due to meet the other, and as usual I found him in the second southwestern hall. However, he was not alone. "Give it back, you damn nuisance," I heard him shout, and then I saw that the goose had seized the other's little shining device and was running away from him as quickly as its orange legs could carry it. The other cursed again and ran after it, and I followed. With some alarm, I realized that the goose was leading him straight in the direction of a vestibule that had recently flooded. The water was not deep, no more than waist high, but nevertheless it presented a hazard, and I called out to him to stop, wait. But the other did not hear me, and before I could reach him and the goose, I heard a loud splash. I arrived in the vestibule just in time to see the other hauling himself out of the water onto the paving stones. He lay prone for a moment, catching his breath, and then, seemingly out of nowhere, the goose walked up to him and dropped the shining object onto his head. The other let out a yell of pain and swiped at the goose, which jumped quickly out of the way. It honked twice, hopped into the water, and paddled away swiftly. I hurried to help the other to his feet. The gray check suit that he wore today was now conclusively ruined, and he brushed off my attempts to aid him. "The best favor you can do for me, Piranesi," he said, "is to turn that damn bird into a pillow." He did not wish to stay and left shortly after. Later, when I was gathering seaweed, the goose approached me again. It flapped its wings in what I felt to be a very self-satisfied manner. "That was a very unkind trick you played on the other," I said to it, it replied, bending its neck to preen its wings. "He never did anything to you," I said. "What is the meaning of this mischief?" The goose ruffled its feathers and replied again. I took this to mean something to the effect of, "Because I can." "Leave him alone," I said sternly. "He is my friend, and I will not stand for this nonsense." The goose stared at me for a long moment, and I imagined that the expression on its face, insofar as the bird can have an expression, was one of incredulity. Then it shook out its wings. It sounded disgruntled, as if it agreed to comply with my request, but unhappily. "Thank you," I said. It turned and waddled away, leaving me to the seaweed. I believe the goose has departed. Entry for the fourth day of the fourth month in the year the albatross came to the southwestern halls. Today when I woke, I listened for the honk of the goose, but while there were many other birds chattering, there was no sign or sound of the goose. I feared that perhaps it had perished somehow, but I can find no sign of it anywhere. I must conclude that it has departed, perhaps for some other halls. However, I have found something new, nestled in amongst my nets, so that I did not find it until I went to fish. It was a shining golden bell, very beautiful, with a clear, bright tone that gives me great pleasure to hear. I believe, though I cannot be certain, that this is some manner of gift from the goose. Where it came from is impossible to know. Mischievous and troublesome though the goose was in its brief tenure here, I shall miss it, and I shall treasure this bell. The end.